Few verses in the Gospel of Luke, and then our main core message of the text will come out of 1 John chapter 4 this morning. And thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. All right, Matthew. We, like I said, we've spent quite a bit of time here in the month of December focusing on messages that relate to Christmas, going back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 on the prophecy that Isaiah gave to us, that there would be coming in the future a Messiah, and he would be God, he would be Emmanuel, God with us, that Matthew tells us. And so this morning, since it is Christmas Eve and tomorrow is Christmas Day, we do want to take a moment and just read the birth of Christ from the Gospel of Matthew, and then also the Gospel of Luke, and then we'll be over to 1 John chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible this morning, there are pew Bibles there in front of you. You're welcome to take one of those and use that. And if you need a Bible, you're more than welcome to take that home with you as a gift from our church family to you, and trust that it would be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Turn over to the Gospel of Luke, if you will. The two parts in the Gospels that record the birth of Christ is the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And we want to just read the first seven verses here of Luke chapter 2. It's interesting because when you look at it in the book of Matthew, it's really the lineage and the story behind the family of Joseph, and gives us kind of the birth account of Christ through and the genealogy through Joseph. When you look in the Gospel of Luke, we find here it's more about Mary and that. We studied this here recently in some Bible studies. That if you go back to the genealogy in the book of Matthew, it traces the genealogy back through all the way to Abraham in the Gospel of Matthew. When you get to the Gospel of Luke, it traces the genealogy all the way back to Adam, the very first man that God had created. So it's very important to read, I think, both Matthew and Luke to get an idea, a full idea, an understanding of the genealogies and the story of Christmas. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, on the birth of Christ, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." So we find recorded here in Scripture the birth of Christ and the message of Christ and the story of the Lord Jesus, which is the most important. And you think about this, in the Scripture, and the Bible talks about in many places, talking about family, talking about the importance of family around Christmas. And Christmas always has special meaning as we do get together with our families and friends or relatives during this time of the year. So I want to preach a message this morning on the family at Christmas, but I want to take our main text from 1 John chapter 4, if you'll turn in your Bible there. 1 John chapter 4. as we think about Christmas. Christmas is all about Christ. And as I said, we've taken a lot of time here in the month of December to focus our messages on around the birth of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, his incarnation, his sinless life, his obedience all the way to Calvary to give his life a propitiation for our sin. And so when you think about family, Christmas is really a kind of a happy time of the year, a joyful time of the year. You say, well, all years should be like that, but there's something special about Christmas that makes people kind of joyful and happy. And during this time of the year, there's much giving of gifts, receiving of gifts during this time of the year. There's being with family. There's special worship services around the theme of Christmas. And so if you really think about it, Christmas is really all about love. Is really all about love. And what I want you to focus on this morning in our text here in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible very clearly says that God is love. And so what makes Christmas so special is it focuses around the virgin birth of Christ. It focuses around God the Father, who then come and incarnate and put himself in the form of a flesh. There is only one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three persons in the Godhead, but only one God. We only have one God. So God and the divine wisdom, the knowledge that he had, realized it was important that he would come down and put himself, God the Father, in the form of a man in humanity, and thus creating the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. And so it's important to understand that when he came because he loves you and I, and he loves family. So when you think about Christmas, God is, it's all about Christmas, it's all about love. God is love. And God's love for us, and our love for our families and friends, and showing kindness one to another. And so when you look at 1 John 4 here, it's really all about family. And if you're going to study love in the Bible, you've got to get to the book of 1 John, and especially here in chapter 4. So he addresses this three times in this chapter as beloved. Talking about family, talking about God's family, talking about believers, and he addresses beloved. That takes on special meaning. I want to point out for you simply three simple things this morning that he talks about in the love of family, this thing on beloved. And he talks about here in John that beloved, believe not every spirit that is in the world. And he also tells us, beloved, let us love one another in verse 7. And then, beloved, if God so loved us, we also then ought to love one another. You know, it's interesting. I get some mailings and periodicals and things from Focus on the Family. And I got one here in the month of December, and it talked about stamping out hate in the world. So I got to reading the article, and the periodical is just called Citizen. You might get it at your home and in your mailings, but take time to read that. Because as you look in the world that we live in, there's plenty of hate to go around. And God knows, and we know, that this world, what we need more of is love. We need more of God. We need more of the story of Christmas. We need more of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to stamp out hate. What the world needs is Jesus Christ. What the world needs is the virgin birth and the story and the message of Christmas. So when you look at it here, look what John writes. He says in verse 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 in your Bible, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And hereby know ye the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit here, and every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Probably one of the most important line sentences right there. You might underline that in your Bible. And that every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is virgin born and lived in a sinless life, is of God here. And so it's key to this in verse 2. And verse 3 says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye are heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We, in verse 6, are of God. He that knoweth God and heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You might note that in your Bible, the spirit of truth, which is of God, the spirit of error, which is of Satan. And we know that the spirit of truth is the message that God gives to us through the virgin birth of Christ. The spirit of error is that of Satan and the false teachers and the false prophets and the demoniac spirits have gone out into the world. And so you notice down through here then in verse 7, he addresses us again, the family, the audience, as beloved. John says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the substitute for our sin, to die for our sin. The whole purpose of Christmas is the virgin birth of Christ, but he was sent on a mission to be the propitiation for our sin, to die in our place, to die in our stead, and to pay our penalty on our sin. Notice he addresses them again in verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, capital S. God has given to you and I, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed, and the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, notice this now in verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath not seen, how can he love God whom he has seen? How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. What a great story when you think about it, the great love that God showed towards mankind. God did not have to do what he chose to do, but he chose to do that because he loved the human race. He loved you and I that he created. And so out of his divine love, he realized there was a need to come down and to offer salvation, to offer a propitiation to mankind, to have forgiveness of sin that goes all the way back from Adam and all the way down through humanity. God's great love, sacrificing his very Son. So he says simply here in this text of Scripture three things. As he sends his family into the world, he keeps saying, beloved, and beloved, and beloved. Three warnings that he gives us, beloved. During this Christmas time of the year, we think about the virgin birth. We think about God's presence, and he says, there are spirits. The Holy Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity and given to you and I, and we know the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And so, but you need to understand there are many spirits in the world. These are demoniac spirits doing the work and doing the deeds of Satan himself. So around the world, not everybody celebrates Christmas. Not everybody this year will celebrate the virgin birth of Christ. Not everybody in the world will celebrate this love that you and I see here recorded in the Bible. And so God says here through John to you and I, he says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. Well, how do you try the spirit? How do you try what is the truth, and how do you do that? Because there's many false prophets that have gone out into the world, and the marks of false prophets and false teachers are here clearly given in verse 2. First and foremost, in verse 2, we know that the Holy Spirit of God. So the first way to know and to understand and to mark the spirits and to know what is evil and that which is good and the spirit of truth for the spirit of evil is the Holy Spirit of God will reveal that to you when he comes into your heart and you're saved and you're born again. The best way to know error, the best way to know false truth and not the truth of God is to know the real thing, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. So when the believer comes to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Bible talks about, very clearly teaches, spirit baptism, We baptize converts after they're saved. That's water baptism. That's a picture of an instant after our salvation, but that's not our salvation. So when you and I get saved and we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and changes us from the inside out, regenerates us by the power and the Spirit of God. It's Spirit baptism by the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the best ways to know the difference between the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error is through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in and through you and I. The Bible very clearly teaches the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. So he simply tells you and I here, every spirit, how do you know what is truth? How do you know what is error? Every spirit must confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and that spirit is of God. If you do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ, if you do not believe in the incarnation of Christ, if you do not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is a spirit of error. It is not truth. And the Bible says to mark that and to know that and to be aware of that. You and I know, we've run into people, and they'll believe that, yes, there is Jesus Christ, but they don't believe in him as deity. They don't believe in him as being virgin born. They don't believe in him as being God in the flesh. That is, the Bible calls that the spirit of Antichrist, that which goes against God, that which goes against Satan. And there are many of those in the world. It's very easily to be able to sort through what is really true religion or false religion, true prophets or false prophets. And so when you look at it here, it says every spirit must confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. If you're going to believe in this God of love, you've got to believe in the virgin birth and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, believing in that and the sinless life. In verse 3, notice in verse 3, another test here, he says, is a spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is not of God. In verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit, the Bible calls it, of Antichrist, against Christ. Now, this is not talking about the Antichrist at the end of the book of Revelation. This is talking about there are many Antichrists in the world. There are many that false doctrines, and they lead people astray. So the real test here becomes of understanding the story of Christmas and the virgin birth of Christ and the sinless life of the incarnation and the story of the message of Christmas. He says, where have ye have heard that it should come, and even now already Antichrist live within the world? The world we live in, there are many Antichrists. There are many false doctrines, and the Bible calls it here the spirit of error versus the spirit of truth. And so this is the spirit of Antichrist in verse 3. And we've been warned of the Antichrist living in the world. We know that. And those who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, they are already in the world. And he says here, beloved, you need to know that. You need to understand that. But in verse 4, notice how he transitions into verse 4, ye are of God. You're not of that group. You're not of that spirit of error. Beloved, ye are of God. And therefore, he says here, children, little children, you have overcome them. And by that meaning, if you're of God, then you've overcome these antichrists. You've overcome these false teachers. You've overcome these false prophets. And you and I can go around the streets right here where we live and work in that in our own community, and you can run into people that believe in the spirit of error. They do not believe in the message of Christmas. They might celebrate a little bit of Christmas, but I often wonder how many people celebrate Christmas that really don't believe the story of what Christmas is really about, that God is love. And that you got to believe in the virgin birth and the incarnation of Christ. And so I love what he says here in verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is in the world? The spirit of error, the antichrist, the false teachers, the false prophets, those out there that have the wrong message. Greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit of God is greater in you than all of these that are out there in the world. You have the power and the ability to overcome and to conquer and to believe the truth of the gospel. So greater is he that is in you. I don't know about you, but that kind of makes us confident and knowing that we can go about our daily walk and our daily living and knowing that we have the Spirit of truth in us. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We don't have to believe that false doctrine, false message, and we can really believe in the virgin birth of Christ and the Spirit of truth that he's talking about here. So these antichrists that he's talking about here, these are demoniac spirits, are of this world. They speak of this world, and the world listens to them. So he says here, beloved little children, believers, we are of God. You are of God. So make sure you understand the difference. And he said, to know God is to understand that he hears us. And those that are not of God, you say, well, who would that be? Those that are not of God are those that don't believe the message of the virgin birth, those that don't believe in the deity of Christ, those that don't believe in the redemptive plan of God, those that have not accepted Christ as their Savior and the message that is in the world. Satan would love for people to be religious just to know that they have a good head knowledge of what Christianity is about, but you got to get it down in the heart, and it's got to be a salvation message that you believe in your heart that he became here, literally the propitiation for your sin. You know what it is? You and I should pay. You and I should pay for the sin debt of our own life. The penalty that's on the sin of our lives, we need to pay for that. But God loves us so much, he says, you know what? If you'll accept me, if you'll believe in me, if you'll trust in me, if you have a relationship with me, I'll pay your sin debt. I went to the cross at Calvary, he gave his life, he gave his blood, he came, he was virgin born, he lived a sinless life, he was obedient to the cross. He said, I'll be your substitute, I'll be your propitiation, I'll die in your place so that you might have eternal life. And so when you look at it here, beloved, to know God is to understand that he hears us, and those that are not of God, the unsaved, and there are many demoniac spirits in the world to be able to, you know, listen to and to be able to, believe me, they do their due and they get their message out and they have their following. The Bible teaches here very clearly in verse 6 this spirit of truth, spirit of error. Bible very clearly teaches there is a God in heaven and there's Satan in hell. Very clearly, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To shun him, to turn our back away from him, to reject his deity, to reject the blood atonement of Christ, to say that, you know, I'll take my chances, I'll pay my own sin debt, or I'll deal with it on my own, my friend, is risky and will only let you end up in a place that's called hell. So the Bible says here as he transitions, so very simply, number one, during Christmas, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear out there. Believe what the Bible says. Second thing here, notice in verse 7, is then, beloved, let us love one another. Boy, you talk about the spirit of Christmas. You talk about what the Christmas message is all about. If anything, that should be seen to the world, by the world, the Christian community that shows the love of God, because you and I are related to God, born of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. If anything, they should see in and through us the love of Christmas as we go about our daily lives. The words we say, the actions we do, the deeds we do, the kind of person that we are should show forth the message of love that can only come from God. So he says here, beloved, let us love one another. Now, a lot of interesting things he says. So if you're in Christ, we are to love one another. That's what Christ is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. And love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. And there's a lot of hate in the world. And that, my friend, is not of God. A lot of interesting, you know, if you look at it right now, there's a lot of controversy because our President of the United States, has recently determined that the U.S. Embassy is going to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, if you're following any of this, he knew that move that was going to take place was going to stir the pot for a lot of people. And you can see a lot of hate coming out around the world over that very issue. More to come in the year and the time to come in front of us. And so there's plenty of hate to go around in the world that we live in. That is not of God. God is love, and God is at the center of love. And so, therefore, if we're going to be in the Christian community, we ought to be able to send forth that same message of love because we are of God, born by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a lot of hate in this world. And he says here in verse 8, he simply says in verse 8, if you cannot love others, then you do not know God. Whoa. I look at that and I think about now, how powerful. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you say you're a Christian, if you say you love God, if you say you know Jesus Christ, if you're redeemed by the blood, and you harbor hate in your heart for another person, then you got to ask yourself the question. The Bible says that person is a liar. You might say you love God, but your actions speak louder than your words. By that, there's no room for hate. There's no room for hating a family member. There's no room for hating a neighbor. There's no room for hating anybody in the church body. There's no room for hating somebody on your street or your neighborhood. If you are of God and God is love and we have Christ in our heart, there's no room for hate at all. And he simply says here, love is the message. And so if you cannot love others, he says, then you do not know God, because God is love. In verse 9, interesting, love is the message of Christmas. He says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. It's all about that story of love. God showed his love toward us because he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. If you think about it today, God is love. The Bible is very clear on that, teaches that here in the Bible. God is love. Let me ask you this, who is seeing God? The Bible says no man has seen God, okay? Then the second thing is, if God then took himself and come down from eternity and incarnated and allowed himself to be born of a virgin and live a perfect and sinless life, and on the earth then for 33 and a half years was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is God in the flesh. The world has seen God and what love really is. The message of love, that's Jesus Christ. But he went back to the Father. He's not here. So what did he leave behind? The church of Jesus Christ, the believers, who then are a representation of God here on the earth, the church of Jesus Christ, who you and I have then asked Christ into our heart as our Lord and Savior and accepted him and say, God, I love you. I want you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me of my sin. And if you are then taking on the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and the propitiation for your sin, my friend, there is no room for hate at all in our lives. It goes directly against the gospel, and it says here, herein is love. And so the message, the love is the message of Christmas, and God showed his love toward us because he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So love is really, really the message of Christmas. You want the story of Christmas and the virgin birth? It's the message of love. Herein is love. Not that we love God first, because we did not. But that God loved us, in verse 10, first, and then sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. He became our substitute. I don't know about you, but the more I read the Bible and look at this there, I owe everything to God. I didn't reach out to him. I didn't all of a sudden one day decide that I was going to get saved and come to Christ. No, it was God the Holy Spirit that convicted me, drawed me to the Savior. The Holy Spirit drew me to him for salvation. It was God that made the first move. I didn't know where I was at. And so the Holy Spirit worked in my heart and through my heart and to draw through love. And so we find here, beloved, he says, notice in verse 11, then not only should we love then one another because God is love, but the third thought here in verse 11 simply is, if God so loved us, notice in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also then to love one another. Oh my, what you could do in a family unit. If everybody just really loved each other and showed that and the power of that love and what you can do in Christ. Oh, that a congregation of Bible-believing Christians could do the same thing and just say, no matter what is said, no matter what is done, they're my brother, they're my sister, I will love them to the core, I will then do the best that I can to represent Christ and what God is all about in the message of love. The love life is shown by the life of love. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. Bible's pretty clear on that in verse 12. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love then is perfected in us, if we will do exactly that and show forth the love of God. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and the love of God is perfected. Think about this. God is love, and God sent himself in the person of Jesus Christ to show the world what true love was really all about. I don't think the world has any idea what really true love is all about. Many times people think they do, and they're looking for, searching for what true love really is. True love is really is to know God and at the core of his being, and to be able to base what your love relationship is in your relationship of Jesus Christ. So we know that after the resurrection of Christ, Jesus leaves behind the church. Believers who are to show their love and be a representation of God the Father and God the Son. You know, and you look in verse 13, you can know. You notice here, notice the confidence that hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit? You can know that you know that you know that God is your Savior, Christ is your Lord, and you have confidence in that. You don't have to live in doubt and wonder and not be sure and say, well, really, am I really saved? Or even more important than that, does God really love me? Yes, he does. God is love. The very essence of God is all about love. And so when you think about it here, God is love. And so when you think about that and the Scripture, it's important to understand the thing about God and that knowing that we know him and that God dwells in us because he has given us the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit of truth. And that's how we can know that we are in God. What kind of a loving person are you? How do you express your love? How sincere and how transparent is that love? In verse 13, you can know that. And then the world, notice this here in verse 14, and we've seen and do testify that the Father have sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. God's desire is that all the world would be saved and come to know Christ as their Savior. And the only thing that's holding back the rapture, the second coming of Christ, is waiting on that last person to be saved. And when that's done and everything's ready, the stage is set, the scene is set, everything's prepared, the Lord's coming back. And then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so then in verse 15 he says, whosoever shall confess. Who can be saved then? Who can have eternal life? Who can know this love of God? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in the virgin birth and the sinless life and the incarnation of Christ, and that he was born in the flesh and yet without sin, and you believe in Jesus Christ in the flesh, the Bible says, you, my friend, know God as your Savior. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the Father but by him. And so when you look at it here, you can believe and know the love of God hath to us, and God is love. If you dwell in love, you dwell in God, and God dwells in you. Do you ever think about this? Now, I don't know. Right now, different times of the year, they'll put on the History Channel or whatever things about different wars that we've gone through and down through. As long as there's been humanity, there have always been wars. I've never found one war yet down through humanity that is built on love. They are all built on hate. And sometimes we get drug into or brought into or fight a war because we're trying to stand up for, in America, the spirit of truth against the spirit of error and that which is evil and that which is corrupt. And so when you think about it here in the Bible, I think it's important you can believe and know and understand, you know, wars do not have love. They have hate. And so what we ought to do is to be able to engage in that and to show others the love of God and what God is really, really all about, and to love others. In verse 17, our love, he says here, then is made perfect that we may have boldness. And as Christ was in this world, so are we, that we may send forth the love of God, and the world would see that through us. Notice in verse 18, this world is made up of fear, but there's no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casteth out fear, the Bible says. Fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And so we love God because he first loved us. If you say in verse 20 that you love God and you hate a brother, if you say you love God and you say you're a Christian, you have hate in our hearts for anybody else. The Bible says we're a liar. You don't really love God. So whatever it is during this Christmas time of year, say, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You're right, I don't. But God does. And I do know this, that our God is bigger than anything else. And so whatever it is, don't allow any kind of hate get into our lives and then have its reign there and lead us down that wrong path. And so we say here, if we love God, we ought to express that love, and yes, even love those that might, you say, well, you just, if you knew what I was dealing with, no, God knows. So here he gives us a commandment that we have from God. If you're going to love God, then you have to love your brother also. If you say you have God in your life, then we must show that we're God, that we are of God and loving others. So Christmas is really all about God. Christmas is all about love. And there's no room for hate in the life of a believer. Not only during Christmas, but all year long. because we're in Jesus Christ. And so may our Christmases be joyous and one that is filled with love. Make sure you take time, especially during Christmas, around the holiday, your family, your children, your grandchildren, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, mom, dad, whoever, to let them know, and let them know on a regular basis, I love you. Don't be afraid and don't be bashful and don't be shy about saying, I love you. God is love, and God wants you and I to represent Him in a spirit of love, and especially at Christmas and then throughout the year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today because you first loved us. God, you are love, and we would have no idea how to accept that love, how to take in love, how to experience love, God, if you had not shown us from the Bible, if you had not loved us first. So God, I pray today. I pray if there's one person today or others that are today, and maybe something's going on in their life or their family or somebody, and there's some hate in there, there's some feelings in there, there's some strained relationships in there. God, I pray that this Christmas we can make that right and understand the Bible teaches that God is love. And that I'm going to do my very best to reach out in the spirit of love, the spirit of truth, during Christmas to be what Christ wants me to be all about. Even if somebody hates me, even if it's a wrong relationship, even if something bad has happened, God, may we always try to mend the fence. Love the person that's unlovely, the person that maybe hates us. God, we have no room, should have no room in our hearts for hate today. Because of you, God, and the example you gave us, and offering us the gift of salvation and showing us what real love is all about. So, God, we thank you during Christmas this year for loving us. Thank you for the gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name I pray. A moment, if you will, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to sing a verse of invitation today, my friend. You need to understand this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's love for you is so powerful, so real, and all you got to do is just come and accept that gift of love and let Christ be your Savior. Let Him be your propitiation. Let Him save your lost soul. Would you do that today? Maybe you're at Christmas time of the year and maybe there's something going on in your heart and your life, and just between you and God, be a good time today to pray and give it back to the Lord. Or maybe you want to come to the altar today and just give to the Lord and say, God, I surrender all to you today, and I want you to be on the throne of my life because you are love. Let's stand together, if you will, and we're going to ask Brother Ron to lead us the verse of invitation today. The altar is open if you want to come. We invite you to come. If we can help you here with the Bible and show you how to trust Christ, and we'd be glad to do that. Or if you just want to pray on your own, you're welcome to do that. As Brother Ron leads.